I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Exodus. And we'll begin reading in just a moment, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1. There is one event in the Old Testament that becomes a point of reference for almost everything else in the Old Testament. It is something God allows so that His people can say, look, if you think God can't do whatever it might be you're thinking He can't do, look at what He did in Egypt. A point of reference. In the New Testament, that point of reference is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said to His disciples, because I live, you shall live also. But I think rather than just an historical study of biblical events, you and I need happenings or events in our lives that become points of reference to us to encourage us in our faith as we need to trust God along the way. So we're dealing with that. I assure you, in my life, the most difficult thing to discern is to try to discern between what I want and what God wants. What I determine to do and what God determines for me to do. And I want to know the difference. And then, of course, by God's grace, to try to live in harmony with my actions and His actions and the divine providential things that God does in my life that I have no control over, I just respond to them. And then the things I purposely do that I believe are God-assigned choices for me to make. All of that enters in to this story in Exodus chapter 14. If you'll follow along, please, we'll begin with verse 1. And we'll see what God says to us in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark just one word, if you would please. If you see what the Bible says in verse 2, and the word is the word, strange word, Pi-ha-hireth. Let's say it together. Pi-ha-hireth. Pi-ha-hireth. Let's try it together. Pi-ha-hireth. You got it. Now, when you leave here, I want you to be able to say it to someone else. People like me don't speak to be heard. They really don't. Oh, I'm trying to hear myself speak so I can know if I'm getting through a little bit. But people like me, 53 years of preaching, I don't preach to be heard. I preach to be repeated. And so I want you to repeat what you're hearing. And that makes all of us preachers instead of just one of us. And we ought to leave the place where we've heard the preaching and be doing the preaching ourselves. Surely somebody, somewhere, you know, that needs to hear what the preacher says on the Lord's Day or whenever you hear a preacher. And so I want you to be able to understand and repeat. But Pi-hahiroth, Pi-hahiroth. Now this stage is set in a miraculous manner, and it's been studied so much that almost anyone slightly familiar with the Bible knows the story of the Red Sea and the crossing of the Red Sea. Remember that God decided after 430 years to break the yoke of Egyptian bondage. And he sent mighty plagues addressed to Egyptian gods to show that God's power was greater than all the power of Egypt. And finally, after the death of the firstborn, the will of the Egyptians was broken, and the people of God, after 430 years, were set free. And they were delivered. And if we study those plagues and how God delivered his people from Egyptian bondage, we really have to travel all the way to the Red Sea. And in traveling to the Red Sea, we see the magnitude of what God did in delivering his people. You could travel through each plague, and as they were attempted early on to be duplicated by the Egyptians. And then finally, God displaying his mighty power in a way that the Egyptians could not duplicate. But then as they leave, a strange thing happens. They come to a place where they're trapped, and there is absolutely no way out. No way. They follow a path that leads them to huge rock walls on either side. Something they could not climb over that kept them pinned in. And as Moses looked over his shoulder, he saw the army of the Egyptians close behind. They buried their dead and decided they didn't want to let the Canyon. They look out in front, and there's the Red Sea. Impassable. No way to go any further. So the army of the Egyptians, with all their chariots and soldiers, are behind them. Huge rock walls higher than they could ever climb and escape are on either side of them. In front of them is the Red Sea. And God calls this place Pi-ha-hiram. Let's say it again. Pi-ha-hiram. And of all things, the name means the place of freedom. The place where God delivers you. In the most inopportune place, the most difficult situation you could find yourself in. As a matter of fact, the Hebrews start crying out, "Why do you let us die in Egypt? Are there no graves there? But you brought us out here. There's no place to go." The rock cliff walls on either side. The Red Sea is in front of us. And the army of Pharaoh is hot on our tail behind us. But God brought them to that very place, that very spot, to experience what they had to experience. So God could prove something to them about himself. Notice the language of the Bible when we read it. The Lord has a way of putting into just a few words the most powerful lessons. Look at it again. The Bible says they came, they turned and encamped before Pi-hahiram, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. So they're right up to the sea's edge. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land. In other words, these stupid Egyptians don't know what they're doing. They've just acted so foolishly. They've trapped themselves. We've got them. Now we're going to slaughter them. No telling what they were saying among themselves, even worse than that. They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, God says, that he shall follow after them. Not only that, I will be honored upon Pharaoh. He'd been dishonored by the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and the Egyptians. And upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Would you mark that expression? That the Egyptians may know that I'm the Lord. Sometimes you wonder what God is up to. Do you ever wonder what God is up to? Especially when you're going through something difficult. Maybe you've done the best you could do, and you wonder, well, what is God up to? What's going on here? And God is always doing the same thing. Just like he reveals to us here, he's revealing that he's the Lord. I am the Lord. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, all in capital letters, the word Lord there, meaning the covenant God of Israel. The only true God. Not these false gods of Egypt. I am the only true and living God. In other words, God uses every opportunity, and may I say any opportunity, to prove to you that he's enough. And all of us have places where we say, this is a point of reference in my life. I felt trapped. Everything wrong. No way out. This is the end of it all. It's never going to turn out good. And then God breaks through in our Pi-Hi-Hiram. He makes sure that we understand that he's our deliverance. That he's the only way out. He is our freedom. Now, I want to remind you of some things. I want you to write them down, would you please? Because these things you need to teach other people. Number one, I want you to see that this place, Pi-Hi-Hiram, was the place of God's choosing. Pi-Hi-Hiram was God's choosing. The people didn't make a mistake. They followed the Lord. The Bible says in the 13th chapter, in verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness, of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. The Bible plainly says that they had a choice in routes. But God led them where they run face to face with the impossible. It had to happen. It wasn't enough that God delivered him with his mighty hand from Egyptian bondage with these plagues. God said, I'm going to deliberately lead them to the place of my choosing. So they're boxed in a stone canyon, backed up with the army of the Egyptians, and the Red Sea in front of them. It was a place of God's choosing. And many times in life, you're going to ask, why did this happen to me? How did I get here? What is God up to? In my life, I could give you illustration after illustration where those questions came to mind. Mike Curley, a pastor friend of mine, was in a parking lot in a store in Crossville, Tennessee, just walking across a parking lot. And a woman driver backed over the top of him. Can you imagine? Careless. Say anything you want to say about it. When you're really alone with men and you want to talk about how bad a driver she was, go ahead and help yourself. In reality, women are better drivers than men. If you don't ask me, ask the insurance companies. They have better rates. But anyway, she hit him. And she injured him so severely, he had to go to the hospital. He's just there to do an errand for his wife, and a woman backs over him in the parking lot. And when he got to the hospital, they examined him. The little hospital in Crossville, Tennessee, said, I'm sorry, Pastor Curley, but we can't help you here. We're going to send you to Knoxville, to the University Hospital. There's something a little more involved here. When they drove him by ambulance to the University Hospital in Knoxville, they revealed to him that they had discovered bone cancer in his leg that would take his life eventually if it was not treated properly and quickly. And I went to see Pastor Mike Curley in the hospital, and I asked him this question. He was so troubled by it all. He said, I'm out of my church. I've got so much to do. There's so many things that are piling up on me. And I said to him, Mike, who hit you in the parking lot? And he told me the story, how the woman hit him. I said, no. Who allowed the car to strike you in the parking lot and to injure you just beyond the pale severely enough that the hospital in Crossville couldn't take care of you? And they sent you to a research hospital in Knoxville, to the University of Tennessee, and they discovered what you're dealing with. Who do you think is behind all of this? And you and I need to stop and think of some of the things that happen in our lives and discover again and again that God is guiding our path and leading us alone and allowing us to come to the place where we have an opportunity to see His mighty hand in delays, in disappointments, in discouragements. God chose Pahahiram as the very place. Can you imagine the God of heaven and earth who made the whole earth when He created the earth and He knew His people would be escaping from Egyptian bondage and taking a different path than the normal path they would have normally taken? And He's coming right into a box canyon with them, right to face the Red Sea, impassable, with the army of Egypt breathing heavily down their backs. And God deliberately said, I'm going to put them right there. It's the place of my choosing. And you're going to find yourself in one of these Pahahiras. And it's not going to be the trap you think at first that it is. It's going to be the place where God teaches you the greatest thing about His power and His deliverance and what He's able to do. I want you to write down a second thing. Not only is Pahahiroth a place of God's choosing, it's a place where the Lord had His people crying out to Him. Let's read on just a little bit. Exodus chapter 14. And the Bible says in verse 3 again, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I'll be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pahahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And they cried out to God. Everything was going great. They're rejoicing. Went out with a high hand, celebrating their deliverance from Egypt. And all of a sudden, they found themselves in Pahahiroth, trapped, desperate. And they cried out to God and spoke to Moses. They cried out to God. Did you know God must work in our lives, unfortunately, to get our attention? Has He gotten your attention? Has He? Have you been on a smooth sailing expedition in life and all of a sudden something happened, plans didn't go right? And suddenly, you wonder, why is this happening to you? You'd had some sort of deliverance, but at Pahahiroth, you feel trapped. It's not going to turn out right. And you stop and cry out to God. It's so hard for us to see both sides of this. It's so difficult for us to understand that God can use disappointing things. Sometimes things we imagine that are tragic things, to cause us to cry out to God. But at Pahahiroth, They needed this to cry out to God. And there may be some things in your life you're recalling now. That was my Pihahiroth. That was my entrapment. That was when I thought it was all over. That's when I thought it was never going to work out. And why did this happen to me? And with confusion and disappointment, we cry out to God. There's a third thing I want you to write down. Pihahiroth is the place where they stood still. I don't know that there's anything harder in life to do than to stand still. To stand still. Listen to the verses. Verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still." Now he's ordering this multitude of people to stand still. How do you stand still with walled cliffs on one side, the Red Sea in front of you, and the army of Pharaoh panting with hot breath down your back, talking about killing you? And Moses said, do nothing. Stand still. Well, we've got to do something. We've got to work this out some way. We've got to make something happen. And God said, no, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What is it to stand still? Would you hold your place here just quickly? Let me turn, please, to the Psalms, to Psalm 46. I hope you'll, at your leisure, read the entire psalm. I'd love to read part of it. Verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still." Verse 10. All this going on around me? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Somehow use your imagination. Travel with this group as they break through the bondage of Egypt. Excitedly they travel on. And suddenly they look around. And the enemy is right behind them. Now God is guiding them by day and night, cloud by day, fire by night. That cloud is the Shekinah glory of God, that fire, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God guiding them. In a moment, he'll change positions. He'll come not over them and in front of them, but between them and the Egyptians and hide them from the Egyptians for the purpose that he has. But right now, it's Pihahiroth. And we think it's the worst thing ever happened to us. We don't know how things could be any worse. And God said, all of this is on you, so you will stand still. In my lifetime, I don't know about yours, but in my lifetime, preaching over half a century, I have never seen anything bring the world to attention like this COVID-19 disease. Never. Is it possible that God is using so much of it, as tragic as it is? My wife and I have both gone through it. She went to the hospital emergency room. I thought I lost her. She had 7 IVs in a week's time to keep her alive. People really do suffer with it. But what could have happened worldwide or to us personally to bring us to the place where we stood still? And we recognize that only God could get us through and only God could get us out. Our churches are all changed forever. I want to be a little personal with you. We had more than 120-something ministries in our church, people going everywhere, just trying to see all that they could get done for the Lord and every place they could preach the gospel. Bible clubs in all schools. every senior residence center in Knox County, somebody's preaching the gospel. I mean, we were absolutely everlastingly at it. And not one of those ministries was led by a student from Crown College. Not one bus route, not one senior residence center, not any of that. Three Sunday schools, the 9:30 meeting of the Sunday school, the 10:45 meeting of the Sunday school, the second coming of the Sunday school with 165 Bible classes in it. And every one of them telling people about Jesus and teaching the Word of God. It all comes to an absolute halt. Nothing can be done. It all came to a standstill. And when you're leading something like that, you have to stand still yourself and think, what is God doing? What is God allowing? I remember when I came back from one of these surgeries, it was the one that they did the surgery on my neck, 8.5 hours on my neck, replacing my neck with a metal cage. And I had to stay out of people's touch or reach for a number of weeks because they said they could hit me the wrong way and I could be paralyzed. And the doctor forced me just to be alone, away from people, only my wife by my side. She was taking tender care of me, as always. And I got so frustrated with it. One day my brother called me. Maybe you know my brother Tom. He's a preacher. He called me and he said, I just want to talk to you a minute. This is probably the only time in your life when you're going to be confined the way you're confined. You're going to be down like you're down, be away from people like you're away from people. Maybe the only time in your life when you're going to have so much time alone, and God is giving you an opportunity to measure, to recount, to think, to consider what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And you know, I don't know of anything that could have stopped us at the Temple Baptist Church in Crown College. I really don't. Because we had a full head of steam moving forward. But it was all brought to a halt. All of it to a halt. And like most preachers, I preached for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months to no one, just over the internet. From time to time, people would call in and ask me, why are you looking from place to place when there's no one out there? I said, because I'm thinking of people who normally sit there, and I get stirred up about how desperately they need God. And some of these old sinners really need to get right. But the truth of the matter is, God said, stand still. Stand still. I'm not finished. But stand still. This is not the end. This is a Pi-Hiram. This is a place where I'm going to deliver you from yourself and self-will. This is a place where you're going to have to revalue what counts and what counts most. It's just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And like that incident following up the surgery, I can say it was good for me to stand still. And it'd be good for you to stand still. And for God to help you measure things again. And to think what matters and what matters most to you. These are the things God does when He brings us to some Pi-Hiram. Let me give you another thing. Not only did God said stand still at Pi-Hiram God said go forward. There's a time to stand still and a time to go forward. But we're not ready to go forward until we've stood still. Look at the verses. Verse 13 again. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. And fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now, all of us want to go forward. We want to advance with God. But at Pi-hahiram, they had to go through Pi-hahiram for God to tell them to go forward. Now, look, please. If we had mapped their journey, we would say, this is how far you can go and what you can travel in a day's distance and one locale where you start from and this leads to the next one. We would have had it all mapped out. But life doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. God allows these Pi-hahirams in our lives to get us to stand still, to reevaluate, to see where we are and where God is with us. And then the Lord says, when we are ready, God says at Pi-hahiram, now go forward. And we're going forward like never before. I don't mean by that we're getting more numerically done, but I think we're closer to where God wants us to be, emphasizing the things God wants us to emphasize. But he had to bring us to Pi-hahiram to do it. And it's time for churches like this to go forward. But don't even try to go forward until you've stood still and God has spoken to you and helped you to see where the emphasis needs to be placed. Always, we reap a harvest where we place the emphasis. And we must discern to place the emphasis where God places the emphasis. And God said through Moses, now go forward, all at Pi-hahiram. And then at Pi-hahiram, the Lord fought for his people. Has God ever fought for you? How do you think you got this property? And you could tell us stories. Oh, you sold this, that, the other. You moved forward, you found the land, yada, yada, yada. God could have stopped anything he wanted to stop anytime he wanted to stop it. But God fought for you. And if you review closely every plan, every approval, every architectural design, every decision, when you look back across it, if you're looking clearly as a Christian, you'll see God's hand in it. How God fought for you. Now the sea opened miraculously. Can you imagine? The sea opens. The Lord sends a wind and dries up the ground. Moses, with his rod in hand, leads the children of Israel through. He blocks the vision of the Egyptians. They had light in the night, but the angel repositioned himself to hide what they were doing in the Israelite camps from the Egyptians. Read the story yourself. And when the Egyptians finally saw what had taken place, the Hebrews were gone. And they knew they'd gone through the sea. And now the Egyptians said, well, we're going right after them. And they start through the sea. May I read just a bit of it? Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. I see them walking through, don't you? With walls of water on either side like they've been walls of stone boxing them in. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. So there they go. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Only God could do that. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Even all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Let me give you the greatest life lesson you can learn. Look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. He shall hold your peace. Look at it again. Chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. If you don't hold your peace, the Lord is not going to fight for you. I know how we all want to retaliate. We'll tell them off. We'll give them peace of our mind. We'll straighten this thing out. We can live by force if we need to. But God said, no, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You hold your peace. You restrain, ask God to give you the grace not to smart back about something. And when you do, God will come in and he will fight for you. You don't learn that as long as you're powerfully going around punching your way through life, trying to make it happen the way you want it to happen. You don't learn that. But when God works with you and in you at your pi-hireth and brings you to the end of yourself, and the Lord deals with your heart, and you see God working, then you get to the place where you hold your peace and you let the Lord fight for you. And he'll bring it out every time on your side in a way that not only is a blessing to you, but it glorifies him. And that's what he did here. And the Egyptians started miring up in the sea, chariots falling apart. And they said, something strange is going on. We're not matching man to man here. You kids get this. You young people get this. You young couples get this. You older people get this. We're not in this alone. This church is not doing what you're doing alone. You're not trying to work as hard as you possibly can to get it all done only you. The Lord is with you. He's in the sea with you. He's in the midst of all this with you. And if you'll hold your peace and let God be God, he'll fight for you. And that's what we want. And you'll come out of Pi-hahiroth saying, thank God. We not only were delivered, but what we learned about God and how he loves us and cares for us, we'll never forget. We'll never forget. Let's bow in prayer, may we? Pastor, God bless you. And the Lord ordained all of this. I'm just shocked as anybody here in this kind of storm. What wonderful people you have. What wonderful people you have. Pi-hahiroth. Let's say it. Pi-hahiroth. It was a place of God's choosing. It's where the people cried out. It's where they stood still. Sometimes it takes a while for us to get still and let God speak to us. It's a place where the Lord came in and fought for his people. Oh, how we need this. Advancing with God. Let us keep praying.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.